with the 20th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select
Kadarius Toney. They won't catch him. Touchdown, Gators!
Over the middle, wide open, first down, and then some. Toney still on the move. The turbo kicking in. Toney TNT!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, twice in 1 week, Ethan Weiss here with you once again after the Giants fleeced the Bears in the first round. Before we discuss the trade back, Kadarius Toney, and everything that it involves, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Weiss, good morning. What? It is a glorious morning it is. We're both beaming right now with pride that for the first time in a long time, it seems like the Giants have a correct process in place. All right. So Kadarius Toney, let's start with the trade back first of all.
Right.
Now, I lost it. Absolutely lost it when that notification came across my phone and across ESPN that the Eagles were trading up with the Cowboys. I mean, that was peak collusion to me.
I melted in my chair.
Me too. Because everything that I was hearing and that you were hearing, and this is no secret, like, essentially every beat writer was reporting that it was going to be one of Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, or the two cornerbacks.
Right.
Whichever of those four were to fall to the Giants. And, of course, none of them did.
Right.
If there's one thing you can criticize the Giants for in this process, and it may be a bigger criticism had things not fallen the way they did, is that after last year's smokescreen, this year, it seems like everyone knew. Every single person. And, you know, I had texted you that so we're not source guys, right? We're not breaking news stories or anything like that. So I don't really tweet this stuff. But I do have one very reliable Giants, I'll call it insider, friend of a friend who, you know, I'm not going to get into it. But the same person that tipped me off to Andrew Thomas an hour before the draft last year, the same person that tipped me off to Golden Tate's suspension weeks before it was announced, the same person that knew and let me know about Janoris Jenkins, cut, release, whatever. Okay? So this was a person, a very reliable person, said that if one of the Bama wide receivers was there, the Giants were taking them. And I had a very, very good feeling that Jalen Waddle was going to Miami, as reflected in my draft prop bets, which hit for that specific pick. But I think all Giants fans were fully expecting the Cowboys to stay put, to go defense. I mean, Rashawn Slater even fell to them. Maybe they would, you know, get Zach Martin and Rashawn Slater on the same offensive line. That would have been crazy for them. But no, they traded back. And I think all Giants fans lost it. But then. All right. So here's how we understand it unfolded from the beat writers, that Ryan Pace called Dave Gettleman at around the 7th pick to discuss that trade back in case Fields had fallen past Carolina, past Denver, and it happened. And then Dave promptly goes, okay, I'm going to give the phone to Kevin Abrams now. Yeah. And Kevin Abrams negotiated the fleece of the century. I mean, for the Giants to move back 10 spots, still get the position that they were targeting at 11, get a fifth this year, a first next year, I mean, and a third?
So they got a first and a fourth next year.
A
fifth this year.
Okay. That's an unbelievable haul.
That is an unbelievable haul. For 9 spots, it's a huge haul.
Yeah. And our good friend Jordan tweeted it that However the draft chart math works out, I'm not going to read the exact tweet or do it. You could find it. I retweeted it. Essentially, for what the Giants gave up, in the draft chart math, they got back twice as much. Think about that. Okay? Now, another one of our good Twitter friends, Dan Schneier, brought up a good point that I want to bring up before I toss it to you for your thoughts. To me, and he didn't bring this comparison up exactly, but to me, the Giants trading back to 20 was eerily similar to the Eagles' initial trade back to 12, and I'll tell you why. The Eagles trading back from 6 to 12 and recouping an extra first-round pick next year, pretty much unanimous, everyone agreed, that was Jalen Hurts' insurance. If he doesn't pan out and they need to make a move for a quarterback, that first-round pick is going to be ammo that they're going to need.
Well, they're
going
to have three first-round picks next year because they're going to have the one from Carson Wentz, the one from Miami, and now their own, too.
Right, so that's the point. If they need to move up, you know, if they're not top five in the draft, they're going to need that ammo to move up. For the Giants, it's a little similar, but the team is way more complete than the Eagles. So if the Giants go on and they're competitive, they win the division, right? They're doing well. Daniel Jones bounces back from an abysmal sophomore season.
Right.
They can just use that pick for another weapon, shore up the defense, do whatever you want. It's awesome.
Or trade the pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on where it is.
Right, because if this is a top five, top ten pick, that's going to be very valuable. So an incredible asset in and of itself right there. In the off chance that Daniel Jones is not the guy, we would have had three full seasons to evaluate it. Then for the Giants, like the Eagles, who knows? That first-round pick can become either ammunition or, depending on how high it is, maybe the Giants are in position to take a quarterback. Right. So an unbelievable insurance policy, in my opinion, and great value regardless. You could slice what's the expression? You can skin this cat a million different ways. I don't know if I'm using that correctly, but the Giants can do a million things with this extra draft capital, and it shouldn't be understated how unbelievable of a move that is.
Right, I think it was marvelous. I have not gone from such agony, because you guys know how much I loved Devontae Smith.
Yeah,
I've never gone from such agony to such joy so quickly. But just look at how it played out. Right, the Giants, there were about, take the quarterbacks out of the picture, there are about seven guys that I think if they were available, they would have stayed at 11 and took them. Obviously, you got the two Alabama receivers, the two corners, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain. I thought they would have stayed at 11 if Penny Sewell was available. Obviously, then you got the Jamar Chase and Kyle Pitts. Any one of those seven were available, I think the Giants would have stayed at 11. But once they were gone, right, because we didn't get that fourth quarterback go in the top 10, right? Once they were gone, the next option was, okay, if you stay at 11, you could take Rashawn Slater, and I think we would have been sitting up here celebrating that pick as well because we like Rashawn Slater. But the real option was trade down, because to me this draft is, there's about, again, take out the quarterbacks, there was about 7 to 8 elite prospects. And then I think after that, you can pretty much rank them however you rank them, and nobody will disagree with you. Some people will have a guy maybe higher than another, but I think the worst case would have been if they would have stayed at 11 and reached for a pass rusher. I like Kwity Paye. I do. I like Jalen Phillips as well. We talked about it on the pre-draft pod, that we think that those two guys are the best pass rushers in the class.
That's who I thought they were trading back for, if I'm being totally honest. I thought that was going to be the pick, and I was a little disappointed. I would have understood it. And like we said before in the pre-draft podcast, we would have both been very okay with a defensive lineman, an edge, pass rusher, whatever, with a trade back.
With a trade back.
I was bracing myself for that.
Right. Not even to 20. Even if they would have gone back to 15, I would have been okay with it, right? But
yeah.
Obviously, you saw the way the draft shook out. The first pass rusher didn't come off the board until Miami, which was, I think, 18. And then the second one didn't go until 21, right after the Giants with the Colts. So you see what the league told you about these pass rushers in this draft class. It's not a strong draft class at all. And They're still,
and it makes sense how far back they all went, right? Because what we were hearing, what we said last podcast, all these draft analysts are saying that these teams only had anywhere from 15 to 20 prospects that they graded with a right. day one grade,
right.
And chalk that up to being a pandemic, and it's tough to evaluate all these prospects, but that you sort of see those pass rushers fell out of that 15 to 20 range into right. the back half of the first round.
Exactly, and you saw that there. It was overall, if it wasn't a strong first round, I think, for defensive players. Two corners go in the top 15, but it was a heavy run on receivers. Obviously, Kyle Pitts, the two tackles, Elijah Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman. But for the Giants to be able to move back, and I want people to understand something, right? It's one thing to acquire Seattle's first-round pick or, you know, I don't know, Tampa Bay's first-round pick or Kansas City's first-round pick or Baltimore's first-round pick or New Orleans' first-round pick. There was talk about them getting up into the top 10. The Giants got a first-round pick of the Chicago Bears. Now, I think there is a 70% chance, and obviously it's too early to tell, but I think there's a greater than 70% chance that that pick is a top 15 pick, and I think it's right around that 45% to 50% chance that that pick is in the top 10.
I disagreed with you last night, and then I looked at the Bears' schedule. It is not an easy schedule.
Yeah. And I think, and I'll even throw you another wrench into this whole thing. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are coaching for their job. They just took a quarterback. They're not going to throw the quarterback in there. They're going to try to milk this whole developing of Justin Fields as much as they can so they can try to buy themselves time. And a lot of people are going to be like, wait, shouldn't they just play the quarterback and prove that he's good enough so they can keep their job? Not really, because if they're losing games and Justin Fields isn't playing well, they're gone. So add on to the fact that they're developing a quarterback, add on to the fact that they have a tough schedule, like you said, add on to the fact that they're the Chicago Bears, there is a very good chance of the top 15 pick. And next year's draft class, what they're saying is it's even stronger than this one. So is an incredible asset to have. And on top of that, we heard Ian Rappaport of NFL Network talk about this, where a lot of teams are valuing next year's draft picks because just the uncertainty with where the cap is going to be. Obviously, the Giants spent a lot of money this season with Galladay and Adoree Jackson. So having that extra assets for next year's draft, it will allow them to get sort of those rookie contracts and add more young guys to their roster, because they probably won't be able to be as aggressive as they wanted, as they were this year. So just an incredible night. And then obviously staying at 20. To me, this whole offseason was all about Daniel Jones and how can they improve what's around Daniel Jones. And it started with, you know, the Kyle Rudolph signing, a red zone threat, added John Ross, signed Kenny Galladay, and then in the draft, Kadarius Toney, who is, you know, we'll talk about him. He's an interesting prospect.
Yeah, so we spoke as an ad nauseum about the trade back itself. Let's talk about the actual player.
Actual player.
Kadarius Toney out of Florida. So a lot of people mixed on this. Here's my take on Kadarius Toney. Last year, the Giants took Andrew Thomas, fourth overall. A lot of people giving them shit, saying, hey, you guys had your pick of tackles. You went with the safest tackle. He had arguably the worst rookie season out of the other three tackles that were drafted in the first round. And, okay, he had the ankle injury, but he played. And he wasn't always spectacular. He tried to finish strong. We'll see what he is next season. If I am the Giants, especially when you're recouping that draft capital trading back, go for upside. You go for the ceiling. And to me, a player like Kadarius Toney has that ceiling, right? People are comparing him to basically if Alvin Kamara was a wide receiver, right? That's the type of player he can be. I'm not saying he's a lock to become that. A lot of that is going to depend on the Giants coaching staff. Okay, another point that I want to bring up. But once those top three receivers are off the board, realistically, you could sell me on anyone else. You could have sold me on Bateman. You could have sold me on Elijah Moore. And I'm sold on Kadarius Toney. Go for the upside, because I don't want like a low ceiling, big body receiver. I want someone who's going to break a million tackles, who the Giants can move all over the offense. I mean, look at what they tried to make Evan Engram this past season. They basically tried to make him that gadget player, moving him all around the offense, taking reverses in the backfield. Now they have a player who specializes in that.
Right?
He can play all over the offense. He's fast. He breaks tackles. Go for the ceiling. I'm thrilled with it. Now, as it pertains to Jason Garrett, that seems to be Giants fans' biggest gripe with this.
Which is Giants weird. It's weird to me why we're jumping to Jason Garrett.
Well, it is and it isn't. I can understand why that would be where fans go, because this was the most unimaginative offense that I think in the entire NFL last year, shown in the fact that they were 31st in a number of different categories.
Right.
So I can understand that concern.
Talent wasn't the only problem with the Giants offense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett is on a very tight leash.
Yeah.
All right? We saw then bring in DeGuglielmo.
Yes.
When things didn't work out with the offensive line. I'll say that to put it lightly.
Yeah.
They went out this offseason and they essentially brought in.
With the whole Dave G thing, how stupid does Colombo look now? Because Dave G is gone.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even his replacement.
He was literally here to just be a consultant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Colombo is out. The Giants brought in like five different offensive assistants this season to help with the offense. Jason Garrett's replacement is on the coaching staff already. Okay? He has been forced to adapt, and if he does not adapt, the Giants are not going to stand for their third-year quarterback in an offense with Saquon Barkley, Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay, Andrew Thomas, Pert. Who knows who's going to be the playing guard? Because I really do think that they'll take one today.
Yeah.
You cannot have the 31st ranked offense in the league and expect to keep your job past week 5 or 6. Even if he remains on staff, he will have his play calling duties taken away. That's how much confidence I have in Joe Judge and why I am not bothered by this pick in a Jason Garrett offense. Because if he doesn't figure it out, guess what?
He's gone. Right.
And guess who's still going to be here? Kenny Galladay.
Right.
Sterling Shepard. Kadarius Toney. Saquon Barkley. If you're a fan, Daniel Jones. All of these guys will outlast Jason Garrett. I am not concerned about that. I mean, I am concerned about it to start, but I am not concerned about it in, like, I'll say the medium to long term for the entire season. So, thrilled with the pick. Love the ceiling. Love the position pick. That's another thing. Before I'm hogging all the airtime here, I'll let you speak. Cool. People complaining about the Giants going wide receiver. It is not a set position, and refreshing that the Giants finally understand that to win in this league, you need to pass the ball and stop the pass, which is why, for me, hearing that their top four choices at 11, had they been there, were two cornerbacks and two receivers. Okay? They brought in Kenny Galladay. Great. I don't buy into the injury concerns with Kenny Galladay. Sterling Shepard is one more hit away from having mashed potatoes in between his ears. Evan Engram's got bricks for hands. Saquon Barkley's got two serious leg injuries. You need depth in this league at the key positions. And to bring in a receiver like Kadarius Toney, and yeah, it might take him a little bit to get acclimated to the NFL, to learn the offense. Of course, he's a rookie,
right?
Okay? But you can never have too much talent at certain positions in this league. Offensive line is one of them. To me, Giants were the prime example of that last year in the receiving core. And I forgot to even bring up Slayton because I think, you know, his rookie year was sort of like an outlier.
Yeah, Darius Slayton's a very overrated player.
I'm not particularly bullish on him.
Me neither.
So I think that a lot of people say, oh, it wasn't a neat pick. Kind of was,
definitely
a little bit.
Definitely was. That's the thing that's mind-boggling is that people say it wasn't a need pick. Like, did you watch the Giants offense last year? How can you say a guy like Kadarius Toney isn't a need? Look, I spoke about it before. You know, this offseason was about Daniel Jones. But more importantly, they needed a player like Kadarius Toney on their team. So many times during the season, if you think about it, how did the big plays for the Giants come? It came with Daniel Jones throwing the ball up and a receiver coming down with the pass, a contested catch. That's where the majority of their big plays were. They didn't have a guy where they could hit a guy in stride on a slant and he can go 40 yards, 50 yards. This is what Kadarius Toney is. He's a guy that specializes with the ball in his hands. He's the most dangerous player, I thought, in this draft when you get the ball in his hands. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't watch Kadarius Toney a lot. I didn't think that the Giants were going to be picking 20, obviously. I didn't think that he was going to be somebody that could have been an option at 42. He wasn't really linked to the Giants throughout the draft process. He was at the Senior Bowl. But this is a player, and I sort of compare it to Deebo Samuel's role with the 49ers, where you can put him anywhere, in the backfield, in the slot, outside. You can line him up in different areas. You can work with him, you know, scheme for him in different ways to get the ball in his hands, because that's where he's most deadly, is when you put the ball in his hands. He's not a traditional wide receiver. I love the Alvin Kamara comparison, because Alvin Kamara isn't a traditional running back. Like, could you imagine...
And they both have the nose ring.
Right. Could you imagine if New Orleans used Alvin Kamara strictly as a traditional running back, where the most creative they get with him is by him in the shotgun? Like, that's not who Alvin Kamara is. You move Alvin Kamara around. And Kadarius Toney is very similar to that. You talk about the upside. Huge upside. There's still room for development there. But this is a guy that I think can come in, you know, be a 700-800-yard receiving yards a season, add on 200-300 yards of rushing, 5-6 touchdowns, just a productive player who can be as productive as the Giants want him to be, because it's going to be important for them to get the ball in his hands. That's the key word here with Kadarius Toney, is getting the ball to him in his hands, in space, allowing him to do things. He has some insane highlights. I mean, if you watch the amount of times he breaks tackles, and it's crazy. I think he's 5'9", 185 or 190, but he plays a lot bigger than his size. And that's...
Yes, he does.
That is, he does not go down, and that's very, very...
Great balance.
Very impressive. And another thing we talk about, right? Joe Judge, since he's got here, right, he's thrown this word out so many times. It's versatility. He likes guys that are versatile. He likes his linemen that can play on different spots of the offensive line. He likes his cornerbacks that can move around in the slot, outside. Safety, same thing. Linebacker, same thing. So it's no different with receiver. He's going to want somebody that can line up in different areas, he can do different things with. It's a very versatile philosophy, offense, whatever you want to call it. And I just think with Toney, we talk about Jason Garrett. The Giants are no longer waiting for Jason Garrett. This is no longer, like, this is why I am sort of surprised that fans saying, well, this is a bad pick because of Jason Garrett. No. If anything, this pick puts even more pressure on Jason Garrett to deliver, where it really is no more excuses. We all saw what Kadarius Toney can do with the ball in his hands when you put him in spots where he can be successful. Now it's time to translate that to the pros. And if Jason Garrett can't do that, you talk about the coaching staff they added. They added a number of guys on the offense. They changed roles for certain guys. So it's almost like the writing is on the wall, where there's going to be more hands sort of in the cookie jar. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. But regardless how you feel, the clock, Jason Garrett is on the clock. He has to deliver. Talent is really no longer an issue with this team. Think about what they're adding to their offense, right? Number one, you're getting back Saquon Barkley, who's, I think, when he's healthy, he's probably one of the five best offensive players in football, right? We can agree on that. Take away the quarterback.
Five best offense? I would say top five running back. I don't know about offense.
No, I'm saying if you take out the quarterbacks, you know, he's probably one of the top 10 best offensive players in football, right? We'll put it there, right?
He's very good.
Very, okay. Very good, yeah. You added Kenny Golladay, who I think is one of the 15, 16 best receivers in the NFL. Clear-cut wide receiver one. You added Kyle Rudolph, a veteran tight end who specializes in the red zone. Oh, by the way, the Giants are one of the worst red zone offenses in the NFL. Regardless how you feel about him, you added depth on your offensive line. You signed Zach Fulton. You're bringing back Nate Solder as a swing tackle. And now you draft a guy like Kadarius Toney, who can do so many things. On paper, this offense should be a lot better than what they were last year. And the clock has started. We talk about Daniel Jones' clock. Yes, the clock has started on Daniel Jones. But more importantly, it started on Jason Garrett, man. He has to adapt, or I don't see him lasting even the entire year.
I agree. Okay. All right. Other thoughts?
Were you surprised that the I'm sure Chicago called other teams in the top 10 to move up. I'm surprised. Number one, I'm surprised that Dallas really liked these two corners, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain. I mean, it was obvious, right? And I think with this draft, it's sort of weird because there was about seven or eight. Like, there was a good, like, we all thought there was going to be a run on quarterbacks right in the beginning, which there were three taken, and then we thought a fourth was going to come somewhere in that other top 10. It didn't come.
I can't believe Atlanta, bro.
I don't know what they're doing.
I'm looking forward to watching that fan base tear itself apart like Giants fan base did in 18-19.
Yeah.
It's just so obvious, bro. Like, you're losing games by, like, 2-3 touchdowns. Your defense is a disaster. And you took a tight end.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Whatever.
Horrible allocation of resources, but... We thought there was going to be a run. We saw the quarterbacks. We didn't see the fourth quarterback. I thought we were. But I thought Dallas, given where they are as an organization, they're really like an all-in on Dak. They're trying to get a ring with Dak and the core that they have. I thought they were going to be aggressive moving up and getting one of the corners. I'm surprised that they stood pat.
I think I was a little surprised. I thought at least one would fall to them. Denver taking Surtain was a bit shocking to me.
Yep.
But... Hey, they got an extra pick, moved back a little bit.
Micah Parsons,
Sean Lee replacement.
Micah Parsons, I don't know. He just comes off as a weird guy to me, man.
I was talking to some Penn State people last night, and they said the same thing. He's a weird dude.
He's a weird guy. He's a really, really weird guy. I don't know how that's going to work out. Philly jumping the Giants for my guy. I mean, that was pretty surprising. I thought Quiddy Pay was going to go there at 12, but you nailed the J.C. Horn to Carolina.
I nailed a lot last night.
Yeah, you nailed.
I made Trey Lance. You put a good chunk of change.
Did you have Trey Lance at 3?
I did. Here, I'll just run through some of the hits that I had. I had Jamar Chase, first wide receiver, hit. Probably my most surprising loss, at least I thought, was Slater. I had under 11.5. His prop closed at 9.5.
Wow.
And then he went way later. So I had Penei Sewell over 5.5. J.C. Horn, first defensive player, plus 1,000, was by far my biggest payout last night.
That's awesome.
And second was Devontae Smith under 11.5, which I bet 4 different times on 4 different sports books because I was like, all right, that's what we're hearing. He's not getting past the Giants at 11, and sure enough, he goes at 10. Jamar Chase, first wide receiver again. I'm trying to think, there was one. I had Carolina to draft a cornerback. I had that. I had Detroit to draft offensive line, and over 1.5 running backs, over half a running back. I'm trying to see what else I hit. Najee Harris under 26.5. That was so predictable. The Steelers had the 31st run blocking offensive line in the NFL, and they took a running back.
Can we talk about the Jaguars real quick? Took a running back, Travis Etienne, at 25. Right. If you look at the teams that were picking after them: Cleveland, Baltimore, New Orleans, Green Bay, Buffalo, and then Tampa, and then Baltimore again at 31. Baltimore was not taking a running back.
Nope.
Cleveland was not taking a running back. New Orleans was not taking a running back.
Nope.
Green Bay wasn't taking a running back.
Nope.
Buffalo was the only one, but I don't think they would have taken a running back at 30. I think they were fixated. I mean, if you look up what people in Buffalo were saying, it was always about an edge rusher there. Then they pick at 33. They could have just got Travis Etienne at 33. I think it would have been a great chance for them to get him at 33. They took him at 25.
Agreed. And if not, you could have just taken Javonte Williams.
Yeah. But no, I legitimately think Travis Etienne would have been there at 33. I don't think any team would have taken him. Maybe Buffalo, but I just didn't. Everything out of Buffalo was like they're going defense. They're going.
Well,
defense.
It's funny you say that. I'm pretty sure his prop total closed at 32.5. So Buffalo or
unbelievable.
He goes over and the Jaguars take him in the second round.
And then even if like they were talking about like the Jets maybe moving back in the first round to take a receiver or running back, but the Jets already moved up to take the Elijah Vera-Tucker, so they weren't not going to trade up again. Just absolutely.
I'm trying to find the quote. Urban Meyer had quite possibly one of the most.
You told me about this, and I couldn't find
brain dead quotes on the pick, and I'm trying to find it. It was like, hold on, I'm gonna do like a little Mike Francesa bad radio here. Oh yeah, here we go. Urban says he sees J-Rob Carlos Hyde as the 1-2 punch, Etienne as a third down back. We want to be top eight in the league, and with James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, and Travis Etienne, we think we're there. He drafted a third down back.
That's the other funny thing about this is they found a running back in James Robinson who was undrafted last year.
Undrafted. And then
they took another. And I like Travis Etienne. I actually think I like Travis Etienne more than I like Najee Harris, but it's just absolutely hilarious that they...
Dude, I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence, man. Like, that coaching staff is so bad.
Yeah.
And that roster management is so bad. Like, that kid is going to have to put the entire franchise on his back because his coach is a fucking idiot. Oh, my God.
I mean, the Rams clearly won that trade with Jacksonville, getting Jalen Ramsey. I mean, the Jaguars are just, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. That was just
remarkable.
That pick... The Travis Etienne pick and the Las Vegas Raiders
taking the Raiders are just going to raid her. Second year in a row that they took someone in the mid first round that pretty much unanimously everyone had going in the second.
They took Keelan Farrell at number 4.
Right, I forgot about Farrell.
Like,
yeah.
I don't understand. Like, it's almost like they're looking at their draft board backwards because like it's unbelievable what they're doing. I thought Alex Leatherwood was going to be available for the Giants in, like, the third round. Him going at 17?
I thought he was going to be a second-round guy, honestly.
But, like, a late second, right? Like,
mid to late.
Him going 17.
His total was, like, 40-something.
Yeah.
His total was in the 40s, late 40s.
Him going 17 overall? Absolutely hilarious. Las Vegas, I don't know what they're doing.
Bro, some of these, I don't understand. Like, a lot of people be on Twitter and they'll be like, oh, you're just a Twitter GM. Like, yeah, bro, like, I'm a Twitter GM. I could be a better NFL GM than probably, like, a handful of these guys.
You know what's funny? You bring that up. I put out a tweet earlier in the week about how I wouldn't take Kwity Paye with 11 overall. And I like Kwity Paye. I think Kwity Paye, the thing about Kwity Paye is that I don't think he has a high ceiling, but I don't think he has a very low floor. He's going to be a productive player. He might have a couple, like, years where you're like, maybe this guy's a pro bowler, but he's just going to be a productive player in his entire career, right? Jalen Phillips on the exact opposite. I think his ceiling is sky high and his floor is like really, really low. Like this guy, like it's a huge risk reward with him. But staying at 11 and taking Kwity Paye would have been a reach. And look no further than Kwity Paye going 21 overall. I mean, he was literally available for the Giants at 20 and they passed on him again. So,
yeah.
This whole, you're not a GM, like, he's mocked to go in the top 15. Yeah, I don't care what mocks say. Like,
bro, I had people telling me that the Eagles were going to have to give up multiple seconds or a fucking first to get back into the top 10. Like, use your brains. Use your, in the words of Mike Francesa, use your noodle.
Yeah.
Like they just, first of all, they just traded from 6 to 12.
Right.
So they're not trading up higher than 6.
Right.
So to get to 7, 8, 9, 10, you think they're giving up a fucking first? Like, bro, some of these people are so stupid. Like yeah, we all get takes wrong. Like,
right.
I got some bad takes out there. You got some bad takes out there.
I get reminded like, NFL every day about 2018, like every day.
Me too. Whatever. Right. I also wanted a trade back.
Right.
And Baker Mayfield was my number one regardless.
Right.
I digress. We miss, NFL GMs miss, but some of you guys, like, some of the shit that people say to us on Twitter, it's like, do you even think before you hit tweet? Like, what was your thought process in thinking that the Eagles traded back 6 picks for an extra first and would then have to give up that first again to move up
two spots
they moved back? Like, use your brain.
Right. It's the funniest thing was when the Giants took Kadarius Toney. The amount of people that were in my mentions saying the Giants don't need a wide receiver. Like, I'm like, were we watching the same thing last year? Like,
yeah. But you know what? Like, I can, from like a high, like a face value, like, I can understand why why some people would think that way. I disagree with it, and I think you can very easily explain why that's wrong. Like, to me, that's not as egregious as some of the other stuff that we're seeing. Like, oh, like, they got Shepard. Like, because Giants fans are, like, huge homers. Like, right. Oh, they have Sterling Shepard. They have Darius Slayton. Like, all right, what did Darius Slayton do last year?
Nothing.
Like, Sterling Shepard's got a million concussions. Right. Like, think about it for a second.
I guess. I just find it very funny how during the season everyone's complaining about one thing, and then in the offseason they completely switch to something else. Like,
yeah.
The Giants didn't like any of the edge rushers. Neither did a lot of other teams. Four edges actually went in the top 32, with two of them going 31 and 32. So, like, yeah. Like, think about that for a second. Or five went, but New Orleans, Peyton Turner. I mean, I don't know what the hell that was. That's another head-scratching pick.
I was seeing a lot of that in draft Twitter, that he was flying up GM boards within the last week. So, I don't know.
Green Bay.
But.
Aaron Rodgers.
Future. I don't even know. I don't even know what shtick to roll with anymore.
Denver. I don't think they're trading him to San Francisco because I don't think Green Bay wants to trade Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco.
Do you think they even trade him?
I think, yeah. I think they will. It all depends on, well, it's stating the obvious, but it all depends on how serious Aaron Rodgers is about this report. But when a guy turns down a contract extension at 37, that'll make him, you know, probably the highest paid quarterback in the league, that's pretty damn telling.
I mean, I'm a Rodgers stan.
Me too.
You know it. Like, and Twitter knows it.
I think people are like, well, he has help. That's not the point. The point is that they were in the NFC Championship game, and then they turned around and traded up for a quarterback when their clear need was, A, we need another receiver possibly for Aaron Rodgers. You didn't maximize the window for Aaron Rodgers. Do you know who the Green Bay Packers remind me of? The Green Bay Packers remind me of the Boston Celtics and Danny Ainge.
Okay.
Every time there's like a free agent or a guy available, Boston is always in on it. They're always in on the trade, right? We were in it till the very
end. And they never do it.
They never do it, right? They don't believe in this window of opportunity where you have a great player or two great players, right? And you can build around them now instead of just continuing to draft, you know, Peyton Pritchards of the world and Semi Ujeles or whatever the hell they've been drafting the last, you know, 5 years since they got that Brooklyn trade. Yeah. Green Bay is the same way. Green Bay has this philosophy where we're going to do things our way because we're Green Bay. It doesn't work like that anymore. You traded up for a quarterback last year and you didn't even talk to Aaron Rodgers. The Giants, when they went and drafted, they didn't move up for Daniel Jones. When they drafted Daniel Jones at 6, Dave Gettleman said, before I put the card in, I called Eli Manning. Like, I didn't even put the card in. I first called Eli Manning and told him I'm taking quarterback. Green Bay had Aaron Rodgers, who was one of the best or the best quarterbacks in the league. They traded up for a quarterback, and they didn't even tell Aaron Rodgers.
Reigning MVP.
And they didn't tell Aaron Rodgers that. Absolutely hysterical.
It's insane to me. And I love that you brought it up. Like, everyone's like, oh, he has weapons. He's got, like, a top.
It's not the point.
It doesn't matter. Like, bro, he is the cog that makes it all work.
Right.
Without him, that team is garbage. They are probably picking in the top 10. Like, people just don't seem to realize it because the guy hasn't won Super Bowls. He, from a pure talent perspective, until Patrick Mahomes does it for the next 10 years, in my opinion, Aaron Rodgers, from a pure talent perspective,
absolutely,
is the most talented quarterback I have seen play the game of football in my life.
Ever.
He is that good. He is a surefire Hall of Famer. It is a travesty, an absolute travesty that he does not have more rings. And for them to reach the NFC Championship game
2 years in a row,
and then turn around 2 years in a row, and we're talking reigning MVP at the age of 37, and then to turn around in the draft, and instead of saying, hey, he's still playing at an elite level, and we just made the NFC Championship game, maybe with a few other pieces, we could win the whole thing. They blow it on a quarterback who's didn't start last year, isn't going to start this upcoming season if Aaron Rodgers remains on the roster, probably wouldn't start for another year if Aaron Rodgers had signed his extension, right? Like, this guy's never going to beat out Aaron Rodgers for the job as long as Aaron Rodgers is under contract,
right?
Like, ever.
Right.
And then to use a second-round pick on a fucking running back, you're a joke. With Aaron Jones on the roster, and Jamal Williams on the roster, like, you're a joke of a franchise. You don't deserve Aaron Rodgers.
Green Bay, even if you go back to the Khalil Mack trade, remember when the Khalil Mack trade was traded to Chicago? Everyone remembers that. Green Bay wasn't on it too till the very end. Rumors are, because Green Bay was picking further than Chicago, Green Bay, or Oakland at the time, Las Vegas, they wanted an extra mid-round pick because they had more faith in Chicago having, you know, the worst of the two records, obviously, because of, you know, Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay said no. So they basically offered the same thing as the Chicago Bears, but the Raiders just wanted an extra mid-round pick, third or fourth, whatever, just because they know Green Bay is going to have, their first-round pick is going to be much lower. And Green Bay said no. And you know who the two first-round picks were? And that, they had two first-round picks that draft, too. Do you know who they those picks were? Rayshon Gary and Maryland's own Darnell Savage.
It's just sad. It's just sad. Flat out sad.
They are the Boston Celtics of the NFL. It's
unbelievable. All right. Round two, round three.
Yeah.
Without getting too into the weeds, because anything can happen at this point.
Can I give you my pipe dream? Yeah. Creed Humphrey.
Yeah.
I love.
Okay. Creed Humphrey. I was gonna say Humphrey. I don't think there's a shot that Tevin Jenkins falls to them.
You don't think so?
But I would still take. I think there's a couple teams that could use him.
Yeah. Cincinnati.
Some people were even, yeah, Cincinnati. I think there were a lot of people surprised he even fell out of the first. Right. So. Even though the Giants seem to be set on Pert, I still would take Tevin Jenkins. Yeah. Creed Humphrey, you mentioned. I think there's another guard.
Is it the guy from Ohio State? Wyatt Davis?
Yes. So I'm praying for some interior offensive line help with the second pick.
Yeah, that would be good. Or, I mean, if, let's say, Azeez Ojulari.
I mean, I don't think he falls
what
either.
What about Joseph
I would
Osai
take Azeez Ojulari.
From Texas?
Sure. Yeah, I would take either of them.
Azeez Ojulari is falling because of the injury history.
Yes.
He's got some bad knees on him.
I bet his over.
JOK, the Notre Dame linebacker. He's 16th on a lot of people's big board. That's insane that he's going to be available. I think Christian Barmore, the defense tackle from Alabama. He's a really good player. You don't like defense.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I don't want interior, bro. I don't want anyone on the... Get me an edge.
Yeah.
Get me an edge. No interior.
Creed Humphrey to me is my... That's my... I hope he's there at 42. I thought he was their first-round pick for sure. If he's there, I think you get him. You can plug him at center, and then you can move Nick Gates to guard.
Yes.
Because Creed Humphrey, I think, is a four-year starter. I think he played like 37 games at Oklahoma. Really, really good player. That would be awesome. Wyatt Davis, I like too, the interior defensive lineman. But I'm with you, man. Edge would be big. I won't be surprised if they go corner. Asante Samuel Jr., if he's there. They seem to want to be able to add another corner. Ronnie Perkins, the edge from Oklahoma. Jabril Cox, another off-ball linebacker from LSU. Landon Dickerson is an interesting one because he actually... He might miss some time.
That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, not
because he's got two bad knees.
Right. So he's also the center, the Alabama center. The bad knees. He actually might miss some time during the regular season, and his sort of rookie year. I'm not going to call it a sort of like a redshirt year where he's not playing a lot, but he's gonna. I don't know if he's gonna be ready for the start of training camp or the season. There's that tackle from Notre Dame, Lyon Mechenberg. But and then Quinn Minerez, the dude from like Wisconsin, that school in Wisconsin, Whitewater, Wisconsin, I think. I saw a video of him. He like lifts trees and like practices with trees. And I guess that's what you do in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Carlos Basham is another one, Wake Forest product, edge rusher. But I'm with you, man. I think an edge here would look good. I think there's gonna be some good ones there. I would look at edge, or maybe another trade down, right? Trading down is fun.
I'll tell you what. I'll read. So I'm looking at DraftKings right now. New York Giants draft specials. Exact playing position of team's second drafted player. The top two favorites right now are trench guys. Plus 110 defensive line. Plus 150 offensive line.
So that defensive line includes edge rusher, right?
Yes.
Sometimes they okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, linebacker is plus 500. So edge, offensive defensive line. Tackle, offensive line.
I think they go edge.
One of the two.
I think an edge here is where you're looking. I think they seem to not want to invest highly in their offensive line. They like some of the guys they have. I think maybe that third round
pick.
Which
is still crazy to me.
Yeah, maybe that third round pick will be where you get one of an interior offensive line. But they like Matt Peart, right? And I sort of
yes,
trust
they do.
I sort of trust this coaching staff with developing players. One of the things we were talking about with Kadarius Toney was his character, but Joe Judge, man, if he thinks it's okay, I think it's okay.
That's exactly my stance.
Yeah.
If Joe Judge signs off on it, I have his back. Yeah.
He's very
until
specific
he proves
about
me wrong.
About 10 people that he wants to bring into the locker room. He's very specific.
Yes.
On it. So if he checks it off, I was watching Dave Gettleman's presser. I want to mention this too. Dave Gettleman didn't come off as excited about trading down. I thought he was going to come out there and be very, like, you know, gloating. You guys said I never do it.
No,
I did it.
Dude, this is what like, everyone's like, oh, are you gonna bow down to Dave now?
I give
no,
him credit.
Like,
I'll give him credit.
I'll give him credit because, you know what? Like, he's listen, he's on the team.
Right.
He is scouting these players. Yeah. But the exact report, I'm pretty sure this is from Art Stapleton, reiterated by Dunleavy, like, the report is that they got the call at 7, and then Dave Gettleman had Kevin Abrams negotiate it.
Well, Dave Gettleman said, I watched this thing. He said that throughout the week, we called other teams. Chicago called us back, I think, the day before. We had a meeting
okay.
on it, and then Thursday they called at 7, and then we said, and I guess they wanted to see what happens with the rest of the top 10. But it seems
okay.
like...
Okay, all right. Then I stand corrected.
Right. But either way,
but I will say,
he didn't sound
for a
as excited as I thought he would be.
No, but that's the thing. Like, for a guy to do something that he's literally never done, like, the Giants do things differently
right.
since Joe Judge got here.
Yes.
It is so obvious. And
right.
yes, Dave deserves credit.
Absolutely.
Like, I will give credit
yeah.
where credit – I will give credit where credit's due. I have no problem with that. Dave has been part of an organization that has, for the last two off seasons, made some very intelligent moves.
Right.
But what is the common denominator here?
Joe Judge.
The common denominator is that this is Joe Judge's team.
Right.
Since he got here, they have done smart football shit.
Yeah.
With Dave Gettleman, they're drafting running back second overall, and it's a disaster. So, thank you, Joe. Dave, pat on the back.
Yeah.
Good job.
Because
Kevin Abrams,
one of the things, the reason why I give,
shake my hand yeah. for fleecing the Bears.
Right. The reason why I
Mazel
give Gettleman credit is because one of the things about Gettleman when he was hired was how he's like this tyrant and does things his way and doesn't really, you know, it's all about what he wants, right? But he's adapted. I think and maybe it's by force, because I think if Joe Judge were to say, I can't work with this guy, I think the Giants would, you know, retire Dave Gettleman and not, you know, fire Joe Judge. But I think Joe Judge's influence, like you said, man, it is at an all-time high with this organization. I think you can see it, the decision-making. Even the type of coaches that they're bringing guys into the organization that have really strong ties to Joe Judge, or they have a really strong philosophy. And a lot of sort of the players that they're drafting, it's very New England like with the decisions that they've made. So we'll see. I mean, it's not a finished product yet. There's still a lot of work to be done. But I'm very excited. I mean, I can't emphasize to you how much fun I'm going to have rooting against the Chicago Bears next year.
Dude, it's fun. Yeah. Dude, it's such underrated fun.
Right.
Like, okay, we get to root for the Giants.
Right.
We get to root against really hard against the Eagles, the Cowboys, and Washington football team.
Right.
And now, if you got hate in your heart, you had an extra outlet. Now we get to root
Bears.
Against the Bears.
And the Bears aren't exactly
I love it. It's fun.
Either. You know, they're not a team that you expect to be one of the top teams in the league. We're like, damn, they're only going to lose 5-6 games. Nah. This is a team that could lose 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, who knows how many games this team could lose. So it is going to be very fun. I'm excited. We still got a second, a third, a fourth round pick. They got a fifth round pick from Chicago and 2-6. So they can still have talent. And the one thing we saw last year, they added guys late, you know, late in the draft. Tate Crowder, guys like... undrafted guys that came in that were able to contribute late in games. So listen, guys that they draft late in the fifth, sixth round, don't be surprised if they don't have roles on this team where they're playing. Now I'm not saying some of the guys like Carter Coughlin, Cam Brown, even Shane Lemieux, like those guys might not be long-term starters, but they're contributors, and that's what you can ask for with these late round picks. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see what they do the rest of the way. There's still a lot of good prospects left. I think this draft is, like I said, was sort of top heavy. There was about 7, 8, maybe 9 elite prospects, non-quarterback elite prospects. Then after that, there's like a big pool of players, and there's still a lot of players in that pool that the Giants could get at 42. So I'm excited, man. It should be a fun second and third round. I'm ready to go.
Super fun. All right. So let's wrap this one up, right. And then you guys are in for a fucking treat and a half, because this is our second episode in a week, and now we're going to do one after rounds 2 and 3, and we're going to do one after 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. So you're going to get a boatload of Ethan and Weiss. Yes. So we'll wrap it up.
Positive.
Follow
Ethan
us on Twitter.
Positive
Ethan Weiss.
I was
very
defending
rare
Dave Gettleman
days.
On Twitter yesterday. A lot of people were telling me, yes, to pin that tweet again. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. My man deserves it. I'm going to give him his props. So, yeah. Suck it. I'm not a DG hand.
Suck it. Yeah. All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes. Peace.